Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Zeros TV and another monthly update on the world of short selling with Ivan Čosević from Breakout Point. Ivan, thank you for coming back.
Thank you so much for having me again, Max.
All right. So what happened in February? We had a slow month in January as far as short reports go. The market went down and we talked a little bit about how short sellers were tending to avoid publishing. Do we see the same lull in February?
We have seen a lot of reports, I would say. So, you know, things are picking up. So we counted 14, what we call calls or reports. So this is more than in February last year when we had 11. Basically, out of these 14, 8 focused on US headquartered companies. We had 3 focusing on Chinese companies. First reports focusing on a Swedish company and on a Canadian company even. So very, very versatile picture. And as I mentioned, even a higher volume than last year in February when we had 11 compared to these 14.
All right. Well, we'll get into some of those calls. But what about the previous short targets that had come out last year? How did they fare? Because as well, it's important to track how those reports have done over time.
Sure, I think the overall environment was very favorable to the short sellers. So many of stocks did then further decline, also to a great extent to overall weakness. But we did see some wins also based on the thesis which were proposed by short sellers last year. So overall, when it comes to what happened in February, if we focus on these new reports from February, they did decline on average 8%, which is in line with what we often use as a reference, so with the February decline of ARKK.
Okay, so short sellers keeping up with ARKK at least, after last year being able to outpace Kathy downwards. Well, let's get into one of those major reports. The Swedish company, I am not going to try and pronounce this name. I'm interested to see your attempt here.
Oh, can I suggest that you put it on the screen, the letters? And this is my best try, so I apologize to Swedish listeners. It's Samhall Byggnads Bolaget.
Okay.
And Viceroy did say in their tweet that it's hard to pronounce, but it's actually even harder to justify value of this company. So that is also them joking a bit on this bit longer name. But Viceroy came out with their new report focusing on this Swedish real estate company. Basically, the main allegations revolve around undisclosed related parties, transactions, dubious accounting, and some insider, what is called self-dealing. It's rather a large company, so 6 billion market cap. The company did provide a comprehensive response to Viceroy a few days later. So far, shares are actually higher than before the report, 7%. Right after the report, that was interesting. So there were some interpretations of a short squeeze there. Right after the report, they went up as much as 25%. But again, now let's say only 7% higher, and Viceroy is usually following up a lot on the campaign, so we will continue to follow also what happens there and how the shares further develop.
Now, what about Spruce Point? They were one of the most prodigious publishers last year, putting out a number of reports. They're already on their second report of 2022. Who did they take a look at?
Yeah, so they are keeping their usual pace of about 1,000 reports per year or about 10 reports. And they did focus on C3 AI. So that's a 2021 IPO. It's an artificial intelligence company, about 2.5 billions. And it's mainly about the what they interpreted as a poor business model and aggressive accounting. So Spruce does look a lot on accounting parts of the company, so that's not unusual for them. Basically, they also believe that the revenue will start falling off because they are too dependent on the main partner that might cease to sell their products. So far the shares are down about 15%, while they see much more downside, about 40%.
Okay, well, obviously the world of short selling is probably not where most people are focused right now with tensions in Ukraine and Russia. But many businesses have connections to Russia, or they rely heavily on Russia for parts of their revenues. We saw the first short report come out that referenced, you know, Ukraine and Russia, and that as being a risk for the company. Let's talk a little bit about that one.
Sure. That was just a few days ago. It was a preliminary report by White Diamond Research, so very well known in short selling area, and they focused on one of the popular companies in recent days due to the developments in Ukraine, which is IronNet. That's a U.S. cyber security company. So basically, White Diamond came out with a report after the shares went from about $4 to more than $6. Apparently, mainly due to the blog post by the company where they, you know, put some parallels between their product and the NATO initiative, and also seemed, according to the White Diamond, to try to jump on this bandwagon of popular narratives, so defensive stock, cybersecurity stock, and so on. So White Diamond sees it differently.
Okay, so this wasn't like somebody coming and finding a company that had exposure to Russia. This is a company actually taking advantage of the turmoil and trying to use this as a way for PR, or maybe to juice the stock.
White Diamond sees it mainly like that. So basically, indeed, they are not affected by the Russia developments, but they are cybersecurity company, and these companies are in the focus alongside defensive companies and some other companies that could benefit, unfortunately, for such conflicts. And they did point out that it's basically empty balloon, this blog post by the company. And the shares did decline following that report more than 30%, or about 30%. So that was very, very timely for the White Diamond. So they do see a lot more downside. And this is not the first time that they focus on a cyber security company. They focused on one, last year. The company went hit their downside target of 85%. That was a company called Intrusion. So it's basically also yet another mini clash between retail verse and short selling universe, because IronNet has also been in a lot of retail investors' focus in the past days.
Well, as well, White Diamond just came on Zero's TV a few weeks ago to talk about AuthID, which was another cybersecurity company. So definitely in their wheelhouse there. You opened up the world of the retail verse. What is the retail verse talking about right now with all of this stuff going on with Russia and Ukraine?
I mean, obviously, as the rest of the world, a lot of attention is being devoted to these developments. And in terms of the tickers and stocks that retail investors are following, these are mainly energy stocks, defensive stocks, and cybersecurity, stocks related to cybersecurity. As well, they do look a lot at Russian ETFs and are either looking at the put opportunities or are hoping for eventual turnaround down the line in these beaten down indices. So that's the main sort of the narratives that we are observing in these days.
All right. So looking, itching to buy the dip.
Eventually, yes.
All right. So let's move on to a report that actually multiple people have published on. We had Blue Orca on back in 2021 to look at Standard Lithium, and then Hindenburg came out again with something on Standard Lithium. What was the difference between what Hindenburg was focused on compared to what Blue Orca focused on?
Indeed, the Hindenburg focused now in February on SLI, so Standard Lithium, Canadian company. And the angle is somewhat different than the Blue Orca's angle. So while Blue Orca looked at the alleged insider enrichment scheme, Hindenburg actually looked at some of the patents that the company claims to provide them with superior technology and questioned the quality of these patents. So that's definitely an interesting one to follow also in the upcoming months. So two very important names in the activist short selling world did focus on the same company. And so far, basically, the shares are down 13% since Hindenburg focused on them. So we might see further developments and further updates when it comes to Standard Lithium.
Okay. How often do we see that sort of double dip action where one short seller will publish on something and then another short seller will come at it from a different angle?
It's fairly rare. It happens, you know, definitely multiple times per year that the different short sellers focus on the same company, but it is more likely that the angles that they focus on overlap somewhat. So it's less that they focus on completely different angles, but we do see that, and that's always interesting to see two entities focusing on the same company and coming to bearish conclusions from different angles.
Yeah, and as well, we had another company that we looked at here on Zeros, a Vulcan, an Australian-listed direct lithium extraction company. So there's a history of these direct lithium companies not faring as well as investors would like. And so there's a lot of focus on that industry in general, as well as on Standard Lithium in particular here. But I want to move on to another topic that is huge in the short selling world, and that is the Justice Department probe into short sellers. Lots of reports as people have been served subpoenas and warrants came out in the past weeks. In February, Elon Musk has gone and cheered it on, but we still don't know much about it. If you read, you know, the reports, I mean, different organizations are reporting different things are being looked at, from spoofing to scalping to communications between short selling firms and aligning on reports. So it seems to be pretty wide reaching. You know, what are you seeing around this probe?
Indeed, updates in media are frequent, but they are not so substantial, I would say. So they are mainly around some assumptions what's going on and what might be going on and so on and so on. So one of very interesting updates that we have seen recently, it's very much related to this probe, even if indirectly, has been a white paper by published by Carson Block of Muddy Waters, where he focused actually on the research of Professor Josh Mitz, that author, the well-known short and distort research paper. So basically, this is a very detailed rebuttal or actually a white paper that points out to certain flaws in that paper. And Max, maybe I'm sure you also had a look at these developments. Maybe you can add some color about the white paper and the research paper itself.
Yeah, well, I haven't read Carson's white paper. I did know that it was coming out and that he planned on breaking down what he felt at issue with Joshua Mitz's paper. In terms of, you know, what I knew about it, it was the amount of time between when the paper was published and the data that came out, because it didn't allow people any time to really peer review or to go over it. And then as well, the paper's findings seemed to be at odds with a lot of what the rest of the academic research on the short selling world was, which almost exclusively has said that short selling provides a benefit to markets, whereas Joshua Mitz's paper clearly, by the title, you know, Short and Distort, would lead you to believe otherwise. And then there was issues with just how many people in his data set were actually short. You know, they were just research writers rather than the short sellers that are being targeted by this probe, the people who are really actually out there shorting these companies that they're writing about. So those are the main issues. But, you know, having not fully read it myself, I would encourage everybody to go take a look at that paper, Carson's white paper, as well as Joshua Mitz's paper.
Yeah, that's another interesting development, which might not go going or doesn't seem to go as far as many have wished. So basically, in the US, there was a proposal for a new short-selling rule by your security commission that will lead to more disclosures when it comes to short-selling. And basically, it seems that these disclosures will mainly focus on aggregate levels, so not on many manager levels. It also seems that the frequency of disclosures will be only monthly. So basically, this will add some additional transparency, but not so much as, for example, we already have in Europe. So in Europe, many of your US listeners might know or might not know that, but in Europe, we have a specific short-selling regulatory disclosure framework where money managers are required to publicly disclose their short positions once they cross a threshold of 0.5 short interest. And what is very interesting about this framework is that today, we can actually observe what were the big shorts of all the many managers across the Europe from yesterday. So it's only one day of delay in Europe. Let's see if that gets some bit updated at the moment. You know, only aggregate level and only monthly level of disclosures is something that many thought is not sufficiently.
Well, that is just a proposed rule at this point, so still up in the air. I want to switch to speculation, not just proposals, but to speculation. Some people are questioning whether, you know, Europe loves to ban short selling in times of turmoil, and with many European companies obviously having exposure to Russia and with the threats of geopolitical issues breaking out further into Europe, there have been some rumblings about whether short selling bans would happen in Europe. Have you heard or seen any chatter around this?
I mean, beyond Russia and we have seen that Russia basically did ban the short selling in Europe itself. Sometimes we are not picking up such signals also on this disclosure framework that we are at breakout point tracking and following. We are so far not seeing massive short selling across European companies related somewhat to Russia. So we are not really seeing from that perspective big signals where regulators might feel that they need to react.
All right, so let's look forward to March. Of those 14 reports that we saw, were there any interesting trends in terms of the types of companies that were targeted that you're looking for to continue in through the rest of the year?
Not many new trends, I would say. So it's still not, we are still not seeing a big major trend, new trend of this year. We are still seeing SPACs being in focus. We are still seeing typical biotechs being focused due to the peculiar drugs and so on. So we are not really still able to pinpoint a new major trend on the short selling side. It's more of continuation of what we have been seeing last year.
Well, Ivan, thank you so much for coming on Zeros TV. Looking forward to having you back on again soon in March.
Thank you so much, Max, and enjoy the day. All the best.